reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." Verbum Domini. Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria a ti, Domine.
On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. Verbum Domini. A blessed and happy Easter to all of you on behalf of the friars and Mike Warsaw and all of the EWTN staff and crew here. Our day of great rejoicing. And you know, there was a story that Mother Angelica loved to tell. And it was a story of a traveling preacher, and he had gone out to this very remote area in the Appalachian Mountains. He comes to this place where there was absolutely no civilization. He sees this lonely house in the valley. And so he goes to that house, and there's an elderly woman sitting on the porch. And he says to her, "Can I talk to you about God?" She said, "Yes, please." And so he talked about how God had created everything. And because of his great love, he sent his only son, who would be named Jesus, who was born in a cave in Bethlehem. How this young man grew up, how he taught some wonderful things, to love God with all of our heart, to love our neighbor as ourselves, how he brought healing and deliverance, did marvelous things that confirmed that indeed he was from God. And the woman is listening attentively to all of these details, wanting to hear every single word. And then he spoke of the Lord's passion, and tears began to roll down her cheeks as she heard him recount his suffering, his death, his words, "Father, forgive them." And then finally he recounted his glorious resurrection. And again, tears streamed down her cheeks, but these were tears of joy. And he assumed, well, she must have never heard this before. And he said, "Did you ever hear this before?" She said, "Oh, yes. And isn't it wonderful She wanted to hear it again. We never tire of hearing this good news again, whether it's the first time or whether it's the thousandth time. There's always something new because the Lord is risen from the dead. And so it is an ancient story, but there's always something new that speaks to our lives this very day. And so in our reading today, we had a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. And I'd encourage you maybe to read that chapter today. It tells a story of how Peter, he went up to the roof to pray at noon in Simon the Tanner's house. And he's taken up into this vision, this trance. And he sees the sheet come down with all these wild animals, and he's told to take and eat. And he says, well, no, nothing unclean's ever entered my mouth. And this happens three times. And then some men arrive. They had been sent by a Roman centurion. His name was Cornelius. And Cornelius had been praying at 3 p.m. one day, the very hour that our Lord had died. We call it now the hour of mercy. And an angel appeared to him and told him to send some men to Peter, who would be at Simon the Tanner's house. It was a day and a half journey. And so he sends two of his servants and one of his soldiers. And then Peter sees them. Now it's confirmed that he's supposed to go with these men. And he sees Cornelius, who has gathered all of these relatives and friends. There's many people there at his house awaiting to hear what Peter will have to say. And Cornelius first bows down before him. He says, no, I'm just a man. And then we have Peter's words today. And imagine this, that this is the very first time these people would have heard this good news. And so what does Peter tell him? You can find this again in Acts chapter 10. We are witnesses of all that he did, Jesus, in both the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree. This man God raised on the third day. We ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and to testify. He's the one. He is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. The prophets bore witness to this before he came. And so he's telling this message. And what happens when he's doing this? He and those who were with Peter witnessed the Holy Spirit comes down on all of these people. And there's manifestations of the Spirit. And so someone says, well, what's to keep these people from being baptized? And so they're baptized right then and there. But Peter stayed with them a few days to instruct them further in the faith. And you know, this was often the way of the early church. They would be baptized and then instructed in the faith. When Father Leonard and I traveled to Mexico this past December to do some programs on Our Lady of Guadalupe, and in fact, we recorded 5 different programs. We'll air later this year. I learned so much about the early evangelization to the New World. In fact, it was 500 years ago, in August of 1523, that the first Franciscan missionaries from Belgium actually arrived at Veracruz in Mexico. And they encountered a people who thought that in order to please the gods, and they had many of them, you have to sacrifice things to them, and the highest thing you could sacrifice would be human beings, and even your own children. Horrible. And yet the Franciscan missionaries come, and the people had no written language. But one of those friars, his name was Brother Pedro de Gant. He was from Ghent in Belgium. They began to make a picture catechism, because they understood things in images. So he makes this picture catechism to instruct them in the faith. He was very adept at learning languages, and he could quickly learn their language and then teach them further this good news, that no, they were not to sacrifice human beings to these gods, these false gods, but rather God himself had become one of us and had sacrificed himself for us. And then there'd be that great confirmation from heaven of that image that would speak both to the Spaniards and to the native peoples of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And millions converted from this horrible way of understanding gods to this beautiful truth. Isn't it wonderful? They must have said that what we believed, it isn't true. But what is true is that God became one of us, that he died on a cross. He was sacrificed for love of us, for the forgiveness of our sins. By his wounds, we are healed. And that he rose again from the dead as a confirmation of who he was. And that we have been baptized into him, that we will come to a like resurrection. In fact, one of the first tribes that was converted to the Christian faith, there were three people in that tribe: Juan Diego, his wife Maria, and Juan Bernardino, his uncle, were among the first to hear that gospel, to respond to it. The Holy Spirit must have stirred in their hearts too. And they were baptized, and Juan Diego was on his way to instruction. So again, when they encountered this people that had never heard the gospel, they were baptized, but then they were further instructed, and Juan Diego's on his way to instruction when Our Lady appears to him. Isn't it wonderful? This is what Cornelius and his relatives and his friends understood. This is what the native peoples of the New World understood as millions of them came to see the confirmation that heaven itself would send in our message of Our Lady of Guadalupe. This is what the early church experienced. This is the story that Mother loved to tell, that we should never grow tired of this story. In fact, we can't. You know, Father Peter McCarthy was the pastor in Leeds, just 15 minutes from here, and he was the nuns' confessor for many years. And he said to me one time, because I assisted him as he was getting older, he said, you know, it's the nature of things in this world that we get tired of them. They get old, they get stale. But he said, I've never found that happen with the Mass. And he was a priest for over 50 years. Every day, sometimes more than once a day, celebrating Mass. You never got tired of it? It never got old. It never got stale. Because there's always something new. We encounter the risen Lord, and there's always something new he's doing, something wonderful. Isn't it wonderful? This basic message, this basic gospel message. And last night we had the beautiful Easter vigil here, where this church was completely in darkness. And then the Paschal candle enters alone, and it radiates this light in the darkness, dispels some of that darkness. And then eventually our candles were lit from the candle that represents Christ, the light of the world. But then we, as Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We pass that on to each other. That is this basic truth, this wonderful message, this good news. And never forget that. However troubled you might think this world is, or even some of the tensions in the church, never forget the word gospel means good news. Good news. Isn't it wonderful? The truths of our faith, God's plan, how he has saved us, what we've recounted during this Easter Triduum. Never forget, isn't it wonderful?